Okay, this is Rye Woody interviewing
Leah Schoenewald, and I'm from Thermopolis, Wyoming. I am here at State Fair because I just finished a book and self-published it, and I'm here promoting it with the Whistle Stop Bookstore here in Douglas. I wanted to share some remembrances of mine about my paternal grandparents. Their names were Bartolo Cavalli and Maria Giovanna Lazzarotto Cavalli. They were born and raised in a small village in northern Italy called Sasso Stefani, and it was fairly close to Venice. The whole village was basically a farming community, and it was very difficult to farm in that area because it was in a very deep valley, and so no one in the town had much money. My grandfather's brother came to America in 1920, and he came to Gibo, Wyoming, eventually, which was a town between Thermopolis and Warland. And he wrote to my grandfather and said, "There's a better life in America. You should come." So my grandfather, whom we called Pa, came over first. And then he sent for my grandmother, whom we called Nonna, which is grandmother in Italian. And so they came to Thermopolis and lived in Thermopolis for a couple of years. And then they built a home in Gibo. And my grandfather worked for the Owl Creek Coal Company in mine number one. I was the lucky grandchild because I was the oldest of us who lived in Thermopolis. And so I was fortunate enough to spend the most time with my grandparents in Gibo. It really was for me a magical place. It was in the late 50s, and I even got to, on occasion, get on the train in Thermopolis and go to Kirby, Wyoming, which was very close to Gibo. And there was a little tiny depot there, and my grandparents would meet me, so I got to travel on the train by myself and then spend time with Noni and Pa. My grandmother, of course, was, as all the ladies were in those days, a full-time homemaker, and she was an amazing cook. And of course, in Italy, there are different types of Italian food, and the flavors and the spices and things are due to what was close and abundant. And being from Northern Italy, my grandmother used a lot of onions and garlic and Italian seasoning in her food. And she would start out with butter and olive oil and then add the onions and the garlic and the Italian seasoning and then the tomato sauce and whatever meat she would use. She did a lot of chicken. I remember that. And she taught her daughters-in-law and then granddaughters how to cook that way. And so every time I cook my Nonna sauce, of course, I am back in her kitchen. She cooked on this huge cast iron stove and, of course, cooked with wood and coal. And again, every time I smell coal burning, I am back in front of my Nonna's stove. I've had numerous people who grew up in Gibo tell me that Nonna Cavalli made the best sauce in the town. And one of the gentlemen who grew up with my uncle at the same time said everybody in Gibo wanted to be invited to have dinner at the Cavallis, and they would run home and run in their own houses and didn't even ask. They just said, "Mom, I'm eating at the Cavallis, bye." And that was just the best thing to do. She made her own pasta, and she had this huge pottery bowl. And I remember her kneading the flour and the eggs and everything. And then she would crank them out with this contraption that sort of looked like a meat grinder. And then she would put a tablecloth on a bed and dry the pasta. And I can remember sitting at the table watching her do that. She did beautiful embroidery and she crocheted. And we have, of course, some of the things that she did. They lived in Jibo until, my grandfather retired in 1957. And, of course, coal mining, as it still is today, was, of course, at that time very hard and very dangerous, very, very dangerous. And, of course, it was underground, and they certainly didn't have the sophisticated equipment that they do now. I remember someone telling me that during the months when the mines were in operation, the miners never saw the sun until Sunday when they didn't work. Because, of course, they went down into the mine before the sun rose, and they came up after it had gone down. So they basically lived in the dark for months, or of course, days at a time until Sunday, and then they could sleep in. But I never thought of that. And I thought, oh my gosh, what a hard, hard existence. They made a living, of course, but there was no ease to their life at all. When they had to move into town in 1961, they were having health issues.
Into Thermopolis.
And they lived with my aunt and uncle until they passed in the 60s. I can just remember being brokenhearted at not being able to go back to Jibo anymore because it was so special.
Could you describe Jibo a bit, the town?
Oh, my gosh. Well, when I was growing up, of course, the coal mining industry was on the decline. And, of course, it had been for many years because the railroads weren't buying coal anymore. Of course, they had changed to diesel. And briefly, during World War II, Owl Creek No. 1 was reopened for a few years. And then, of course, when the war ended, the mine was closed again. I have memories of basically going to my grandmother's friends' homes, the ones who were still there. The favorite part of my grandparents' house for me was their cellar. It was, of course, dug under, and dirt walls and floors and wood shelves where my grandmother would store the sheep. Put up, they said in those days, put up vegetables and things. She canned them. But in its heyday, there were a couple of thousand people who lived in Jibo, and across the hill was another coal mining town called Crosby. Oh gosh, they had a church, there was the mercantile, many, many houses, all of them at one time had outhouses. My grandparents had a toilet in the house, but when they bathed and when I was there and took a bath in the big tub in front of the stove. But they had a miners' band. They had a baseball team. There was a baseball field. There was a little airstrip at one time, a hospital, of course, a school. My dad went to Jibo High School until he was a sophomore, and that would have been in 38. And then they closed the high school, but the elementary school stayed for years after that. Then he graduated from Thermopolis High School in 1940. So it was rocking and rolling, yeah. No question. Yeah, and of course, a melting pot, just like all of the coal mining towns were. You know, you had the Italians and the Greeks, a huge Serbian, Montenegro population, and Swedes and Danes, and it was great. So I got to meet a lot of those people, a lot of the ladies, yeah. Especially because of my grandmother.
Did the rail line go in?
There was a spur that went to Crosby, and then it came into town, and the main track came from Kirby, and you can still see that rail bed today, and it came in from the north and swung around and then went out to the tipple, and that was the place where they brought the coal cars, which were wood and on railroad wheels, they brought those up out of the mine with a hoist. Then they took the full cars into the tipple where they were shaken. There was a shaker, and they were separated by size. And then they went into bins, and under those bins were railroad tracks, and the cars came under and then they were filled, and then they went back to Kirby, and then on to the, what was at that time the CB&Q, you know, Chicago, Burlington, and Northern. Yep, Chicago, Burlington, and Quincy. There we go. Oh, and they had dances, and just it was a great place.